This is interesting. New Zealand has almost achieved what the rest of the world has been trying to do to stamp out COVID-19. And as such, we've gained the world's attention. So, well, we've got the platform, the international platform. How should we use it for good? The New Zealand Alternative Think Tank has been pondering this question, and I'm joined by co-director Thomas Nash. Hello.
Oh, kia ora, Jesse. How's it going?
Yes, good, thank you. Have I stated the position correctly there? It's basically that we have the world's eyes on us, right? And so how do we make the most of it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, people don't normally pay all that much attention to us, but they do sometimes, and they are especially now. So what we do next will have more of an impact on the international community than it usually does. So we think there's a responsibility and certainly an opportunity to think hard about what we do next.
And are you asking what we should do next that will most benefit us, or what we should do next that will most benefit the world?
Well, it's a good question, and I think the answer is that those two things hopefully will be the same. So what we've suggested in this piece that we've put up on the spin-off this morning is three areas that will sort of define how we progress as a country through the recovery or renewal from the coronavirus, but that will also have a big impact internationally if people watch what we're doing. And those are migrant rights and migration, international solidarity, including debt relief, and climate change and just transition.
Okay, so when you talk about migration and migrant rights, what do you have in mind there?
So one of the things that has been in the news, and I think you've covered it on RNZ a bit, is the fact that we have around 300,000 migrants on a temporary visa at the end of February in New Zealand. Many of these are people doing essential work, like healthcare workers, construction workers, in our food and agriculture sector, and they don't have the same access to healthcare or benefits as the rest of us in New Zealand. So what we're saying is that lots of countries are facing similar situations with migrant workers. They're suddenly realising that migrant workers underpin lots of key planks of their economy. So if we in New Zealand can set a good example by extending our safety net and our welfare system properly to all of these temporary migrant workers, then that will have an impact, we think, could have an impact on how other countries navigate this situation.
Right, so we get the health response to COVID-19 right, and then maybe they'll look at us and say, hey, well, they've got their approach to migrants and the sort of vacuum of labour right as well.
That's right. I think that's exactly what we're saying. And there was a great piece by Te Wila Fuatai in Newsroom a couple of weeks ago on the impact of this crisis, particularly on families and villages that themselves usually rely on remittances, income that comes from New Zealand. So we're also thinking that New Zealand should really consider supporting those communities, particularly in our Pacific neighbourhood, who will also probably be seeing a drop in income from New Zealand-based family members who usually send that income back.
Okay, what about debt relief?
Yeah, so last week I think there were about 14 of New Zealand's kind of overseas aid organisations, including Oxfam and others, who called for the government to put an additional $25 million into its overseas assistance budget, and we think that's a good idea. And we also think that it's crazy that countries who are the least well-off countries in the world, they're going to be hit hardest by this pandemic. It's crazy that they should be paying interest on debt to wealthy countries. It just doesn't make any sense. So we've already seen actually the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund have said they want to get on board with some kind of debt relief, and we're talking like a lot of money here, right? The 76 countries that get loans through the World Bank, and I think they were due to spend $18 billion US dollars this year on debt payments to other governments, $12 billion to multilateral organisations like the World Bank and the IMF, and $10 billion to external private creditors, who could be, you know, any other banks or whatever. And there are a number of countries that are getting these loans in the Pacific neighbourhood: Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, others. These are countries that are going to often struggle because of the fact that they've seen their economies restructured in exchange for getting these loans, and also because of the long-standing history of colonisation. So we think these debt and interest payments should definitely be suspended, and really we should be looking at cancelling this debt, because it doesn't really serve any purpose, we believe.
You've also talked about our policy choices when it comes to climate change. I'm out of time with you, though, Thomas, so we'll direct people to the full article on the spin-off website, and we're in the process of linking that on our website at the moment. But thanks for putting your giant brain to this and for explaining it to us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. See you soon.